the parent's perspective. "Dylan," his mom called up the stairs. "Dinner time." No answer. "Dylan, did you hear me?" A noise very much like a roar came back in response. 8-year-old Dylan began screaming from his room. "I'm not ready to come down now. Don't you know I'm working on my space station? Why do you always bother me? I'm busy." Dylan's dad quietly began climbing the stairs.
"Hey, pal, that's a lot of noise for somebody hard at work. Think you could put things on hold just for some dinner?"
"Go away," Dylan shrieked. "Why are you always bothering me? I'm busy."
"Whoa, pal." His dad stood in the doorway. "Mom's made a nice dinner. It's our job to show up."
"Get out,"
Dylan growled and flung a piece of his model toward the doorway. "Okay, fella, that's it," his dad responded. "No more screaming and throwing things for you."
And he picked his son up, wailing and kicking, and brought him downstairs. By the time Dylan was plunked into his chair, he had collapsed like a deflated balloon. He sat whimpering, his head in his hands.
"I'm sorry I got so angry," he sobbed. "I don't know why. I just don't know why."
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about bipolar disorder in childhood? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is an expert in working with kids with these kinds of problems. Dr. Melissa Del Bello is an associate professor of psychiatry and pediatrics at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. She's also director of research education and training in the Division of Child Psychiatry at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center and vice chair of clinical research, University of Cincinnati Department of Psychiatry. Dr. Del Bello is the mother of 3 young children, 2 boys and a girl. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Dr. Del Bello.
Thank you for having me here today.
What does the term bipolar mean?
Bipolar is the term used to describe a fairly common psychiatric illness that typically presents very similar to Dylan, who you described, with periods of what we call mania, which is the elation or irritability, or periods of extreme goofiness and silliness, or periods of irritability and storms, and also with trouble sleeping, oftentimes high amounts of energy, inability to focus, as well as periods of depression, which again can present with irritability, but also presents with low energy and tearfulness. And said another way, it's a period of extreme moodiness and lability that impairs a child's ability to function in a family setting, in a school setting, or with their peers.
How is this disorder different when it occurs in children from when it occurs in adults?
Commonly, this disorder does occur in children, and it does look a little bit different than it may look in adults. In children, it commonly occurs when there's both the depressed phase of the illness as well as the irritable or goofiness phase of the illness. And those can happen very commonly together, or they can fluctuate. A child's mood can fluctuate within a day. And so they'll be one moment very down and sad, the next moment very irritable and screaming, and then very goofy or silly or inappropriate. And that can go up and down within a day. And in adults, more classically, those types of different moods appear very differently and during different time periods. The other difference is that in children, commonly there are other disorders that co-occur with bipolar disorder. So children with bipolar disorder a lot of times have attention deficit disorder, so ADHD, and will be oftentimes misdiagnosed as having only ADHD. And so they get put on medications that potentially may not be helpful to them and, in fact, may be harmful to them. So getting a child accurately diagnosed is a little bit more difficult than in adults because it's sometimes often confused with other disorders. Also in children, it's very important because they spend most of their days in the school setting. It's very important to have input from the teachers because what the parent might observe is very different than what a teacher might observe.
Okay, so it sounds like it's important for parents and teachers to combine their observations, sort of like the blind people and the elephant.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's very important to get input from the teacher as well as, of course, the parents.
Okay.
How can a parent know if this is not just a moody kid? You know, a mercurial kid who's very excited at one point and then very down the next point.
I think the important point is that moody kids don't necessarily have functional impairment. And what we mean by that is that they're not doing their normal daily activities satisfactorily. So, for example, these kids may be getting kicked out of schools because of problems with their peers or problems that might just seem as, you know, they get labeled as bad kids because they're talking back to their teachers, but it's part of the impulsivity that's associated with this disorder. And so oftentimes it's important to take how the child's functioning into consideration. But if the child is not functioning or they don't have good peer relationships, if they don't have a lot of friends, if they seem socially isolated, if they can't do their homework, if they can't participate in extracurricular activities that they used to participate in, those are all the different signs of functional impairment that we'd look for. But suffice it to say that most of the time, if a child is having extreme irritability and extreme mood instability, that if the parents are concerned about it, at a minimum, they should get evaluated for the possibility of having a mood disorder.
Are there certain developmental stages or ages when onset is more likely to occur?
Some of the studies that have been done in large data sets have looked at when the onset of this disorder is. And classically, when you look at adults with bipolar disorder and ask them to go back and figure out when their onset was, over half of the adults will have said their onset is younger than age 19. So this is really an early onset illness that the majority of cases have the onset younger than 19, so during childhood and adolescence. It's more the rule rather than the exception, but for a long time we thought this disorder could not occur in children and adolescents, so it was taking about 8 to 10 years for people to get the right diagnosis of bipolar disorder.
Can you see it in a child, like in elementary school?
This is the subject of a lot of controversy. The youngest age I've been convinced that a child can have bipolar disorder is around 7, 8 years old with a multi-generational family history. So that a parent has bipolar or a grandparent has bipolar or a parent and a grandparent. Sometimes they have older siblings that have bipolar disorder as well. And so that's one of the main clues that we use in a young child. But more and more we're learning about the early presentation of bipolar disorder, or what we call the prodrome of bipolar disorder. And so we are looking more and more for early mood symptoms, especially in those who have a family history.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on bipolar disorder in children.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Melissa DelBello about bipolar disorder in children.
What about a genetic connection? Does this kind of disorder run in families, and how common is that?
This disorder, bipolar disorder, we don't have a gene identified. So it's not like a disorder like Alzheimer's disorder, where there may be a specific subgroup of patients who have a gene that has this type of familial Alzheimer's disorder. It's a disorder that probably is related to several different genes. And so we don't really know that it's genetic, but we do know that it's familial, which means that occurs more commonly in families when the child has a family history of bipolar disorder. So if you have a parent with bipolar disorder, the child has a 30% chance of developing bipolar disorder. It's one of the most familial illnesses that we have in psychiatry. And in fact, generally, the prevalence of bipolar in adolescents is about 1%. So if you have a parent with bipolar, the risk is about 30 times that your child will have bipolar. We are actually doing checkups on kids of parents with bipolar, because sometimes the parents have trouble realizing what's normal behavior, what's normal development, and what's abnormal development. And so sometimes we'll see a child, you know, every 6 months yearly to just make sure that the behavior the parent is observing is normal development.
We're talking about treatment and diagnosis. What is treatment like for a child with bipolar disorder?
Sometimes treatment for a child with bipolar disorder can be very difficult because, as we mentioned before, the diagnosis can be misdiagnosed, or it can be diagnosed as ADHD or just depression. So sometimes a child presents with depression, but there's also the history of the goofy periods and the silly periods. But if a child presents with just depression, that might confuse the person who's assessing the child. And so it's important to get a very comprehensive evaluation. So that's the first part of treatment, I would say. And that includes being evaluated initially probably by a pediatrician, because most children have pediatricians. And then if the pediatrician has a suspicion that the child needs to be seen by a child psychiatrist, who's a psychiatrist with expertise in specifically normal development and abnormal development. And so a child with a concern about bipolar disorder should be evaluated by a child psychiatrist at some point. And that evaluation will include going over a lot of questions regarding the symptoms that we talked about that a child with bipolar would have, but also getting input from the teachers. And of course, the child psychiatrist should spend time and call the teachers and call the school and get input from the school, because that's where kids spend most of their time. But also may include assessments like neurocognitive testing. So kids with bipolar disorder may struggle in school and have academic difficulties. And so it's important to have them evaluated for possible learning disabilities, which they have more frequently than kids without bipolar disorder. Also evaluate them for ADHD symptoms, which commonly can happen with childhood bipolar disorder. There may be speech and language problems as well, or physical problems, motor problems, and so doing activities of daily living may take them longer. And so the first step should be a comprehensive evaluation. Next, then you go to treatment, and I think treatment is multifactorial in that there's treatment which may be medication, there's treatment which may involve therapy, which includes members of the family, and then there's treatment if other problems are found. They may need an individualized education plan in school. And so it's important to consider all these different components. But what we know the most about is medications at this point. And so treatment typically needs to involve medications, because we know that they work effectively. And really, at this point, some of the other treatments that we talked about, like there's therapy that has been studied that's called family-focused therapy that includes all members of the family involved in the treatment, and that's been shown to improve outcome, but it's only when it's used in conjunction with medication.
Are there medication issues that parents should be aware of? You know, when they say medication, all the red flags go up, of course.
All medications have side effects, and so it's really a cost-benefit analysis when it comes down to what medication for what patient. And unfortunately, patients with bipolar disorder will typically undergo multiple trials of medications before finding one medication that works for an individual with bipolar disorder. That's the bad news. The good news is that we actually have a lot of treatments now for bipolar disorder, but we need to shorten the time to find what medication will work for a specific patient. To get back to your question, I think you always need to look at risks and benefits, and we have a number of different options. There's the general class of medications called mood stabilizers, which includes lithium, which most people have heard of as a treatment for bipolar disorder. And then there's a newer class of medications called atypical antipsychotics. And those have recently been studied in adults with bipolar disorder and children with bipolar disorder. And it seems like they are as effective, if not in some cases more effective. But they unfortunately have significant side effects, including weight gain and other side effects like problems with glucose regulation or sugar regulation. And so I think it's important to realize that without medications, there is significant morbidity and mortality associated with bipolar disorder and high suicide rates if left untreated. And so it's important to treat the illness, but it's also important to monitor for side effects and to closely work with a child psychiatrist or a pediatrician who will assess these side effects on a regular basis.
Can you additionally treat the side effects?
There are some newer options with treating some of the side effects. Most of them are just in the infancy of being studied, but for certain, working with a nutritionist or a dietitian who might offer suggestions about the weight gain associated with some of the medications, and that's been shown to work in some people, but no magic solution at this point.
Can kids outgrow this illness?
At this point, that's one of the questions that remains unknown. The longest outcome studies are some of the studies that Barbara Geller has done at Washington University, and she's looked at four-year outcomes of young children with bipolar disorder and found that they still have it at 4 years. Unfortunately, we don't have long-term studies at 10 years to tell us that little people with bipolar disorder will grow up to be adults with bipolar disorder. But we do have the studies showing us in adults with bipolar disorder that the majority of them had them as children.
How can parents best help their kids keep their behavior within appropriate bounds?
That's a difficult question. The one problem I see parents having is not knowing when to attribute a behavior to just normal defiance of development versus to bipolar disorder and the illness. And so that's where sometimes parents run into difficulty. Well, is this a child just being a normal adolescent, or is this a child's bipolar disorder? And that's something that, as a clinician, I struggle with too, to help a parent figure out. I think the important thing is to look at the overall picture and see if the patient's mood is in a good place, and it's an adolescent's job to be defiant. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's sort of that catch between setting good structure for the child, setting good boundaries, and setting limits. And consistency is very important. So we see bipolar children run into a lot of difficulty over the summer when there's a change in their routine, when there's a lack of structure. And so the more structure, the better. And so in bipolar children and adolescents who have that particular difficulty, we work with parents to figure out the best plan for the summer. Starting around Christmas time, we'll start looking at how are we going to fill this child's summer so that they have as much structure as possible and they have a routine during that period of time. And then another problem that we run into is adherence to medication. And we've looked at some of the adolescents that have participated in some of our research programs, and most of them are non-adherent to their medication, despite the parents actually believing that they were adherent to their medication. And we've heard all sorts of interesting stories. One adolescent was giving it to their pet, their medication.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
One was, the mom was watching and said, oh, no, my child's taking the medication. And then actually it turned out that she would keep it in her mouth just long enough till her mom turned away and then would spit it out after that. And people were selling their medications. There's all sorts of things that parents may not be aware of. And it's normal to want to test if you can control this on your own. And it's normal for most people to say, well, do I really need this medication? And so particularly during adolescence where they want to have control over themselves and their illness, and so they'll not be adherent to their medications. So that's something that I think it's important that the adolescent feel comfortable with and understand, because it really does impact outcome. The one other thing that parents should be aware of is that the rates of using drugs and alcohol are very high in adolescents with bipolar disorder. And so that's something else that they really need to monitor for and educate their children about. And what we tell children with bipolar disorder is it's nothing they've done wrong. It's their brain and the way their brain is put together. If they start using drugs and alcohol, they're going to get hooked on these substances more so than their friends who might not have a mood disorder.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on bipolar disorder in children.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Melissa Del Bello about bipolar disorder in children.
Now, what happens to these kids in school and with their peers in environments where it sounds like you've touched on this a little bit, where there's sort of whatever adolescents in that environment would consider a norm, and they're different?
It really is a struggle sometimes for these kids and adolescents who may be very good students and oftentimes are very creative and very excited about doing the work and have great ambitions when they grow up, but they're struggling because they can't get along with their peers. Sometimes it's because of their impulsive behaviors that sometimes they'll act before they think, and so that doesn't bode well with their peers, and sometimes their peers don't want to be their friend except when they're doing well. And so they'll have friends that are their friends when they're doing well, but then if they're depressed and irritable, their friends won't want to be around them. If they're hyper and high energy, their friends won't be able to keep up with them. And so I think peer relationships and problems with their friends is very difficult. I think at school, getting them the help they need early, and if they're struggling in school, getting them cognitive testing or psychological testing is very important to evaluate if there's a specific learning disability or if there's a specific area in which they need help, and getting them an individualized education plan.
What would you most want bipolar kids and their families to know?
I think it's important to realize that the key to getting effective treatment is to getting accurately diagnosed. And so if you have concerns about your child, it's important to have them evaluated initially by their pediatrician, maybe by a child and adolescent psychiatrist, and to realize that there are a lot of different treatments. It may take some time to find a treatment that works, whether it's medication, whether it's therapy, but there are a lot of options and there is a lot of hope, and that there are a lot of children with bipolar disorder, adolescents with bipolar disorder, that will grow up to be very successful adults and function normally in society. I have a patient who was misdiagnosed as having conduct disorder, who was in and out of juvenile detention centers, who was failing out of school, who was just basically written off as a bad kid. And he was on medications that could have been making him worse. He was on antidepressants and stimulant medications, which don't necessarily help patients with bipolar disorder without a mood stabilizer. And once he got accurately diagnosed, he actually did quite well on the correct medications, on a mood stabilizer and an atypical antipsychotic. And he turned from failing out of school and going in and out of juvenile detention centers to getting all A's and graduating from high school and having a successful life as a young adult. And so the key is getting accurate diagnosis, and the earlier you get treatment, the better the outcome.
And if you get a diagnosis that you're concerned about as a parent, is it looked upon favorably to go ahead and get another diagnosis to see somebody else?
It's always a good idea to get a second opinion. We all encourage each other to see each other as patients just to get a second opinion. Maybe there's another option that we haven't thought of for this patient, or maybe there's another diagnosis, or maybe there's something we're missing. If a clinician is reluctant to have a patient get a second opinion, then that's concerning. And so I think it's very important for parents to feel comfortable with a diagnosis and to get a second opinion when in doubt.
Before we go, are there resources that you would suggest for listeners who want to learn more about bipolar disorder in children?
There is the Child and Adolescent Bipolar Foundation, and it's an internet-based support group. It's www.cabf.org, and it's an internet-based support group that was started initially by a mom who had a daughter with bipolar disorder, and she was a very successful career woman in the Midwest who didn't really have time to go to support groups because she was struggling with her daughter and found that she couldn't get out of the house. And so she started an internet-based support group. And there are regionally based chat rooms in this website, as well as resources of clinicians in different areas of the country. And it's very accurate medication information on this website. There's a library on the website of different resources for parents of children with bipolar disorder. So it's a wonderful website. There's also a book by Dimitri Pavlos that is called The Bipolar Child. It is a good resource for parents.
Well, you have been a wonderful resource for us and for all of our listeners. So, Dr. Melissa Del Bello, thank you so much for being here to discuss bipolar disorder in children.
Thank you for having me here.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. Mention show number 345 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Our sincere appreciation to the American Psychiatric Foundation for its generous support in the production of this program. And now we need to hear about your reactions to this show, so we're offering a special gift to listeners who complete a very brief three-question survey. Please visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. Beneath the show number 345 information, click onto the survey, please, and its simple instructions. If you have participated in any of the earlier surveys, we still need your mailing address so we can send you your free gift. Just add that under comments. And thank you so much. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.